Welcome to Atlanta Business Talk, the podcast for business professionals and entrepreneurs to share their stories, strategies, and business tips. I'm your host, Scott Shetler, and in this episode, I talk with the owner of Avocado Vegan Cafe, Godfrey Lewis. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Talk podcast. I'm your host, Scott Shetler. Today, my guest is Godfrey Lewis. Godfrey is the owner of the Avocado Vegan Cafe and Juice Bar. Godfrey, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here.
I'm happy to be here, Scott.
Godfrey, why don't we start out with an introduction. Tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe a little bit about your educational background and what you started doing professionally when you began your career.
Well, I, as you may or may not know, I am originally from Jamaica. And I came here in my late teens to go to university. I started out in Florida. And my educational background is in software development. And that's what I've done for over 25 years. I mean, that's how I paid the bills for almost 25 years and decided to make the switch back in 2014.
And what was the motivation for the switch? So you're working in software, and where along the line did this passion for veganism, vegan food, and possibly becoming an entrepreneur come about?
Well, that's a long story. Growing up in Jamaica in the 70s, that was the Rastafarian movement was burgeoning and it was spreading. And one of the things that the Rastafarians advocated was clean and healthy eating. And so that appealed to me and that resonated with me. And at the age of about 16, I became vegetarian. I did not become vegan until about 15 years ago. And that was because my wife got sick and it literally cured her by eating a strictly whole food plant-based diet. I did it along with her, and both of us have not looked back since. In terms of starting a business and doing this, it was time. The short answer is, Scott, it was time. It was time to move on. As a software engineer, it had served its time, as it served me well. And I'm very grateful. I mean, it gave me and my family a very good living, but it was time to move on. And being in the plant-based / vegan community, I saw and I was aware of the death and destruction caused by, you know, the consumption of animals. It was the destruction of our bodies, of the environment, of the animals. And I wanted to be an active part of the solution, not just my own personal effort in terms of just, you know, me doing this. I wanted to be more active in the community, and I was looking for something that I could do. And this is how it manifested itself.
Now, did you always have interest in food preparation? Like when you and your wife started eating a plant-based diet, or I guess you'd been vegetarian for a while before that, but when you guys went a little right. bit more to the whole food plant-based side, did you have any background whatsoever in food preparation and putting together recipes and things like that? Or was that something you figured out as you were going along?
Well, I had no professional background. I've always been interested in experimenting with food, with creating my own stuff, in veganizing or making traditional recipes plant-based. I've always had that sort of, I've always enjoyed that sort of creativity. So I've always cooked. I wasn't starting from scratch. And I've always been entertained by new recipes, and I've always, that's always been in my background.
So when you started with this whole food plant-based nutrition approach, were you thinking in the back of your mind, like, as you started preparing these, like what was the seed that eventually became your cafe? Like when did that start, kind of picking at you to say, hey, there's something there and this is what I want to do. I'm kind of, like you said, the corporate world served its purpose and I'm ready to pursue my passion. What, tell us a little bit about that.
I must say I never really had an ambition of owning a restaurant. The restaurant was secondary. It was always my interest was always health and healing, and health, personally and other people and animals and the environment. So that was my, if I'm going to use the word passion, although sometimes it might seem like a cliche, come across as a cliche to me, and I try to say strong interest or but it's not the restaurant itself, if that makes sense. It's
Sure,
more what I
it's what
do
you're
with the rest.
providing
This is
through, yeah.
exactly. So that came about, that was always in the back of my mind. What can I do? What can I do? And that's what I'm saying. In about, I would say, 6 months before I opened the cafe, I came to the realization that it's time. And because I looked at the resources that I had and what I wanted to do and how can I do it and so on, I didn't want to borrow any money. I just wanted, I wanted if whatever I did, if it failed, I would walk away broke, but I wouldn't be beholden to anybody, And I thought of, again, providing the meal that I thought, the type of cuisine that I thought, be good for us, but be good for you, me, and the planet.
Yeah.
And I live in the suburbs in Atlanta, and every time that we wanted to celebrate and go to a restaurant, we had to go in town or over to
Yes.
Decatur or something. There was nothing in the suburbs, or very little in the suburbs, rather. So I'm like, you know what? There has to be people like me out here. And that was my business model, to provide to the suburbs. I mean, we both know that we could make a lot of money, more money, if we were in town, but I wanted to be in the suburbs to provide us somewhere to eat. And that's how avocado came about.
That's great. And I like what you said a minute ago, when you were talking about how you didn't want to kind of be trapped by somebody. You didn't want to, go borrow a bunch of money. You didn't want to, have that banknote hanging over your head. And you wanted to put all the success or the failure of your enterprise on your shoulders. And I think, I came into business myself, not as a business major or something like that, but like you, I've just got a strong desire to help people with their health and their fitness and stuff through my fitness training business. And I didn't really know much about it, but the thing that I think I see a lot of people when they're getting into business, they think that the route to go is to take out a big loan and borrow all this money and stuff like that, rather than bootstrapping it and trying to find a way to do it where they're responsible for the overhead, they're responsible for the investment. And I think that's a really, really smart point, to not, kind of sell yourself to someone and then you're stuck paying that off, while you're trying to get your business up and running. I thought that was a really interesting point, that you brought there. And something I see a lot of people who are getting into business, it's a big mistake that people make and often is the downfall of a lot of businesses because, as you know, those first
Absolutely.
few years are very difficult when you're getting started up.
Absolutely. And the thing is, Scott, I like to sleep well at night. And you read all these, entrepreneurs starting out, turn to friends and family and put the money together and everything. And I thought that if I was to borrow from friends and family, and I mean, they're all adults, they know what they're getting into in terms of investments, and investments fail. But I couldn't live with that. I couldn't live with, I mean, I couldn't live with you know, borrowing $50,000 for a friend and say, hey, sorry, the restaurant, you know, the business went under. I just couldn't live with that. And I didn't want to be beholding. I didn't want anybody to have any. I just wanted to do it my way. Call it selfish. I just wanted to do these things my way. And besides my spouse, you know what I mean? Because that would be now our income. Besides my spouse, I, you know, I just didn't, you know, if it failed, it failed. I'd go back to what I was doing or find something else to do. But I was not going to go and say, you know, hey, I am really sorry, but that $20,000 that you invested, you know, it's gone. Or, you know, beholding to a bank and having the bank, you know, harassing me. And, you know, but, you know, I first of all, I knew I wouldn't get a bank loan because I've never worked in the restaurant business before. I had no experience in terms of restaurant and so on. So
and that's a tough industry. That's a tough industry to crack into. I know a lot of people in that space. And out of all the businesses out there, the restaurant business is tough.
It is brutal. It really is. You know?
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, since we're getting into the business side of things here, let's talk a little bit about your business experiences. Why don't you share, if you could, some good and bad business experiences, maybe some things, you know, some things that you had to, you know, some pitfalls that you fell into along the way and what you did to kind of get out of that, or some things that surprised you that worked really, really well. Just go ahead and share a few of your success stories and not so successful stories as you were beginning this venture.
Well, like I said, I've never been in the restaurant business before. And so I did my academic research and I did my informal chatting to restaurant owners that I knew and so on. And one of the great advice that I wish I had followed is it said, if you never worked in a restaurant, I forgot which book I read it in or which article, go ahead, work in somebody's kitchen or, you know, somebody's restaurant for 6 months at least, you know. And I thought to myself, I am not doing that. I am not going to leave my job making this money, much money, to go work for $15 in somebody else's restaurant. Absolutely not. So I just blew that idea off. And when I started the restaurant, I immediately saw the prudence in it. I mean, I saw that that was an excellent idea. And because I didn't do that, or because of my lack of experience, it actually cost me more money along the way. So that was a shocker. You know, I mean, I mean, in the beginning, I did hire a restaurant consultant, someone who had opened quite a few restaurants. I didn't do it blindly, but still, I could have learned a lot. I mean, simple things like setting up a commercial kitchen or how does it work? You know, just simply day-to-day, point-by-point thing I think I could have learned. I am happy to say that 6 years later, I'm still having fun and I'm still enjoying it for the most part. There are certain things that are really, really difficult for me to deal with. And I, restaurant culture is, you know, employee wise is a thing of it's a whole different animal. In the most, at least first of all, it's not a career unless you're in one of those high end, you know, making a good living, you know, you're a chef and or, you know, high end wait server or something. But but a restaurant like mine, employees, workers, they're just, you know, it's all, you know, college students and you have a few full-time and so on. So that's kind of difficult for me to deal with because sometimes the work ethic is not there. Sometimes restaurant culture, they're a little bit more transient. They're nomadic. Yeah. So, you know, you spend all this time training and somebody moves on two weeks later or even 2 months later. It's kind of costly, and, you know, sometimes they'll go through the official process of, you know, sometimes you hear that minute that somebody's quitting or hey, I, you know, I'm on my way to California, so tomorrow is my last day, you know, or I
Surprise.
can't come,
Yeah.
you know. So things like that is quite shocking. But I did get some warning. I did get some warning from some of my friends that owns restaurant. And I remember talking to a friend of mine, and he said, hey, it's May now, and this is my fourth chef that I've hired, you know. And me, you know, I'm naturally optimistic. I'm like, ah, that's not gonna happen to me. You know, that's not gonna happen to me. And I'm like, yes, it did. Now I know. You know, you just think that you're gonna be the exception to the rule,
Sure.
and so that was an eye opener. That was, and that's kind of difficult. And another thing that has been a bit of a surprise. Well, not really, because everybody warned me again, is that I don't have the flexibility that I had when I was in corporate. I'm more
Yes.
tethered to the location,
Yes.
and it takes a lot of planning for me to get away for even a few days.
Well,
That can be a
what's the old joke about opening up your business or becoming an entrepreneur is that you leave a job where you're working for somebody else for 40 hours a week and now you're working for yourself for 80 hours a week?
Absolutely. That if you think you want to have your own time and your own man, and you know, that's
Yeah.
not gonna that's that that's just that not gonna happen at all. I mean, it's you're literally in a re especially something like that, you know, where it's, you know, I mean, there's something always happening, and you always have to be there. And you know, you go through I've gone through stints where I've had, you know, dependable employees where I could get away for a few days and so on. But that again, you know, changes so much. You might be fine for 3 or 4 months where you have more flexibility because everybody's on point, or most of your workers are on point. But then you go through another stretch where you almost have to be there every waking hour, making
It's
every decision and so on. I mean, it's just part of it.
a lot of unpredictability. You know, I mean, it's tough to plan long term, I guess, in that sort of situation because, you know, and I guess the hard part is too, and I mean it's like you said with the food service industry, it's tough. And it's probably not just with restaurants and food service, but when you're in a business that you started and it's a situation, I don't have this because I don't have employees. I'm kind of a one-man show. But for a business like yours, where you have people that you are depending on to make your business successful, it's going to be tough. And this isn't a slight against the employees, but it's going to be tough
Oh
to find
no.
people that care about your business as much because it's your baby, you know, and they're there to help
Absolutely.
you with it. So that's got to be tough, especially when you've got a product or a service that is basically synonymous with you and your identity, you know, when you get people working for it, that they're just not as kind of emotionally invested as you are. But that's also the nature of the business itself, right?
That's the nature of the business. And it's so, and customers are so, your relationship is so fragile. And I mean, one mistake. I mean, if you have a regular customer, if you have a regular customer and you're on point, you know, 9 times out of 10, they'll understand. But somebody walk in and you're not on point, or, you know, which has happened. And you lose that customer, and you don't know what you've actually lost, because you don't know where that customer might have been, and you need that customer to sustain your business. And sometimes, if you're not into business, you don't understand that. You
Yes.
don't understand it. So you try to impart that to your employees, and sometimes that can be a, sometimes it's just, if unless you're in the business, you just don't get it. I mean, it's a
Yeah.
very fragile business. And you know, somebody comes in and they order one sandwich, and if they don't like it, they're not gonna say, oh, I didn't like that sandwich. They're gonna say, oh yeah, I've tried avocado's food, I've tried their food, I don't like
Yes.
it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's
Yes.
it's that it's not, you know, it's that, you know, oh, I didn't like the XYZ sandwich or the XYZ entree. It's gonna be like, yeah, I'm not crazy about their food, I tried it,
Right.
you
Because
know.
they tried one thing and they had a bad experience or it was
Exactly.
a taste or a flavor they didn't like or
Right.
something. And suddenly, yeah, that's a tough,
And
yeah,
then
that's a tough, tough
that's
business.
what characterizes the restaurant in their mind.
Sure.
Oh, the food is bland, or you know, the food is too spicy or too salty, and and you're talking
or not spicy one... enough for some people, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Right.
That's a little inside joke. I'll share with people. Yeah, my wife and I are customers and friends of Godfrey's, and we visit the restaurant regularly. My wife has this ridiculous taste for insane levels of spice. So for the longest time, the challenge was for Godfrey to get his spicy kale sandwich or spicy kale wrap up to a level where my wife would be almost offended at the spice level. So I'm happy to say I think we finally got there.
Exactly. And we actually named that level of spicy off of your wife. So when somebody somebody comes in and the staff says, I mean, the servers actually write it on the ticket.
It's Lisa Spicy.
Lisa Spicy.
That's awesome. Well, let's move into why don't you talk a little bit about any of your business influences, or if there's any books that you read and would recommend, or if you've got any specific sources of inspiration.
Well, first of all, for the aspiring entrepreneur, I would give the basic traditional advice: know the industry that you're getting into.
Yes.
Research the industry that you're getting. If you're aspirational, then you should do almost every day at least one thing toward that goal. I would do, and that one thing might be reading an article, making a phone call, just something that brings you, first of all, closer to your goal. In other words, you know more today than you do tomorrow. I mean, than you more do than you did yesterday.
Yes.
So you're one step closer. Even if your goal is 5 years out or 10 years out, if you know what you don't know and you pick up a phone and you say, hey, what does it take to open a food truck in Fulton County? And you either go on their website, you look at what you are in terms of health department or whatever it is, no more than what you do. In terms of business, I can't say that I did a few business courses in college and accounting and so on. I'm still learning on the job where that is concerned. Most of my reading is plant-based related. So you're talking about knowing why I do what I do. And I do courses too. I've just completed a Food for Life course with the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine.
Oh, nice.
So that's where my energy in terms of reading is. Science behind plant-based eating and plant-based living, becoming an expert where that is concerned. In terms of business, promotion, marketing, I really, as I go reading articles, talking to other people. That's another thing I would advise aspirational entrepreneurs. Talk to people in the industry. Talk to people who have done what you have done.
Instead of trying to reinvent the wheel. I mean, there's already paths to success out there. People have done it already. So that, I've found myself that when you talk to people, they're usually more than happy to share their experiences and to help you out and to, if they've got any advice or things that they can help with. I think that's a really excellent point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have to talk to people who have done it. I mean, and it's not necessarily if you're looking to open a gym, you have to talk to somebody you should only talk to somebody who's opened a gym. You should talk to somebody who have started their own business. It might not be related to your business.
No.
Because sometimes one little nugget of information can be a game changer. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I have employees over the years who have worked in my restaurant, and a lot of them have entrepreneurial aspirations. And I would ask them, so what have you done, or where, how are you working toward that? And I said, listen, at this point, you're daydreaming because you're not taking concrete steps to make it happen. It's not just going to happen at a whim. If you know you want to do this, right? Now, even though in my mind, they're thinking of waiting until they have the money, right? And I say, okay, how much money do you need? Well, I don't know. So how do you know that you don't get it? You don't have it, first of all. And how do you know that you will have it in 5 years? Now is the time to, you know, you have the aspiration. Now is the time to start investigating. Like I said, reading an article a day, making a phone call, talking to someone. So each time, because I tell them, people who I talk to say, who knows? You think you can do this in 5 years? Maybe you can do it in two. You think you can do it five years? Maybe it takes 10. You know.
Well, how often have you seen in your personal experience that you might have an idea of where, you know, like you're going from point A to point B, but the minute you start talking to different people and the minute you start asking questions, different doors open up, and then suddenly that route changes, and sometimes things becomes expedited. You might make a connection that brings some sort of value that you weren't even considering at that point in time. But had you not reached out and talked to that person or sent that email or made that phone call, that would never have presented itself.
Exactly, Scott. Exactly. That is my point. And it doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter if it's business. I tell people, if you want to do something, let people know that you want to do it. You're looking for a job. In conversation, say, hey, I'm looking for a job, because you don't know who is going to say, my neighbor does this, or my sister's cousin has a company that, I should let you talk to XYZ, or, you know, you just never know. So it's the same thing. If you're thinking about opening a business, the people who care about you and want to see you succeed, mention it. Talk to people, because you don't know what connections you might create, or what somebody might, you know, this is the person that says, hey, you know, you want to do an intern because my friend has a recording company. And if you want to be an engineer, I know he takes in students, or, you know what I mean? Like, you know, things like that. But had you not mentioned that is your ambition, you just don't know. So I say, hey, let the people who care about you know. I mean, I say that to people who are, you know, even trying to transition to plant-based eating and all that. Let people around you know that they don't try to sabotage you, that they don't invite you to restaurants where, you know, your downfall, you know, your weakness might be in, you know, if you're not firm in your conviction right now. You want to lose weight? Tell people, tell your wife, tell your coworkers, please don't offer me that donut. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to better, you know, this for myself. So, I mean, talking to people, let them know what your goal is, because you don't know who might be an angel along the way.
Well, I've seen so much
to you.
I've seen so much of that just, you know, in the gym and in the training center and among, you know, my clients and the gym members and stuff like that. You know, so much stuff can happen just through a conversation. And that was actually one of the reasons why I wanted to start this podcast, was just because I started thinking, like, man, I know so many people who work in the business world or who own their own businesses or entrepreneurs and things like that. There's so much great information out there through their collective experiences. I thought, man, what a great thing to do to try to bring these people on, you know, one, to highlight your businesses and your accomplishments and you know, use it as a source to advertise, you know, for people, but also just to share these things and have this podcast be a place where people could go to get business tips. And like you said, not necessarily from people in your industry or your specific sector, because there's a lot of stuff that applies generally to people in the business and the entrepreneurial world. So it's just opening up those avenues for conversation, you know, to allow these things to happen. And then pretty soon somebody jumps in and says, oh yeah, you know, I know this, or I know that, or I know this person. And it's a great way just to build a network and to share ideas. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Absolutely. Networking. Well, I mean,
that's awesome, man. No, this has been really good. Why don't we finish up? I know you talked a little bit about already, you know, some advice that you would have for entrepreneurs, you know, just starting out and things like that, which is great. So why don't we just go ahead and wrap up if you've got any closing comments? And if, you know, feel free to say what you'd like to say. And then please share your business's website. You know, if you're active on social media, where people can go to learn a little bit more about Avocado and what the things that you're offering, any promotions that you have. And I'll also be sure to include links to your website and all your social media in the show notes as well, so people can access it easily.
Okay. Well, again, as you know, we're Avocado Vegan Cafe. We're actually a full service restaurant and a juice bar. We're located in Johns Creek, Georgia. You can find us online at avocadovegancafe.com. And we're also on Facebook as Avocado Vegan Cafe. And we're on Instagram at avocado_vegan_cafe. I want to actually address aspirational entrepreneurs because I was just there 6 years ago. And I would say common sense, the traditional common sense advice. Again, know your industry. Get to know your industry. Stop dreaming. If you're thinking you're doing it and you're not making concrete plan to do it, you're daydreaming. Okay. Get out there, make a move. It's not going to be a straight line. You're gonna have your ups and downs. And my biggest advice is there's nothing wrong with making money, but it's gonna be a lot easier if what you're doing is consistent with what you see as your purpose. Because if you're just doing it for money, when with the rocky roads are ahead, you might want to give up. If you're doing it because it's a part of you, and of course the money is important, trust me, I would not be doing this with, you know, I don't want to seem altruistic and, you know, we're doing this for the love of it, man. You know what I mean? It's not about that. What I'm saying is that when the storms come and when the money isn't immediately rolling in, if you're doing this just for the money, you're going to quit.
Yes.
Right? If you're doing it because it's part of what, like in my situation, I really wanted to be an active part of the solution. And I think that, as you know, after looking at plant-based eating and living is good for you, for me, for the animals, for the planet. And I wanted to make it easier for you to eat plant-based. And this is how I step in and do what I do. If you have something that is just, if you're motivated by something more than just the money, I think it's easier, and I think it's more enjoyable, because I think tiny moments throughout the day, every minute, the accumulation of every minute of your life, of every minute, is what makes your life. So it's a quality of life issue. So if you can think of doing something 8, 10, 12 hours a day, if it's not something that you really enjoy, it's going to be work. it's going to be tedious. So think about your life, think about the quality of life that you're doing, and make sure that you're doing it for the right reason. All right. And you know, I am guilty of romanticizing, you know, sometimes, you know, yeah, I'll have this, you know, really trendy cafe, and and you know, it's you know, I have a lot of students who come interview and they think it's, oh yeah, it would be really cool to work in a cafe, you know, like in a vegan cafe, and I can tell my friends I work in that vegan cafe, and I'm like, yeah, but don't forget the work, you know what I mean? The work is a lot of work, you know. So that's what I would say. And, you know, I said, you know, if you can do it for more than just the money, I think that would be a big... That would be, you'd be ahead of the game.
I love it. That's great advice. And yeah, I mean, it's, you often hear about, you know, find, you know, follow your, find your passion and the money will follow. I think that's very true to a certain point, but you know, you have to do the homework. You got to make sure that you're getting into a viable business and that you're providing a service or a product that people want. But like you said, when you have the love for what you're doing and you're personally invested more so than just the financial side, you're going to weather those storms when times get tough. And I don't care what business you're in, what sector you're in, times do get tough. And it happens probably more often than somebody would think.
Certainly. You are 100% correct.
Well, Godfrey, man, thanks so much for doing this. This was a lot of fun. I know listeners are going to get a lot of great information from this, and hopefully it'll get some more people through your door. And you know, undoubtedly, I will be in soon for my barbecue tofu sandwich, best in Atlanta. So, man, thanks so much again for doing this. I really appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to getting this thing up and live.
Scott, this was a lot of fun. Thank you for the information, for the invitation. Anytime, I'm at your service.
Well, thank you, man. We'll definitely have to do this again. And thanks so much, listeners. Again, this is Scott Shetler for Atlanta Business Talk Podcast. Looking forward to bringing even more of these with some great guests like Godfrey down the road. Godfrey, thanks a lot. And until next time, we'll see you later.
See you later.